Wherever you're listening this afternoon, thank you for making us part of your Tuesday. It is Masters Week. It's one of my most favorite weeks of the year. You had, obviously, the NCAA Basketball Championship last night, Connecticut knocking off San Diego State, the first full week of Major League Baseball. And we'll have the Reds and the Cubs for you following our golf talk here on WGCL. Tommy Thrall's pregame begins at 6:10. Luis Cessa's first pitch at 6:40. And the biggest Cub fan I know joins us in the golf world as well, Rob Bolton from PGAtour.com. Who is your starting pitcher tonight, and how do you pronounce his last name?
I think the Cubs have the night off.
No, they're playing the Reds. Come on, man. You're just...
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
I looked at it earlier. I didn't see the...
Wesneski? Right. Hunter?
Hayden Wesneski.
There you go.
Look out for this dude and his sweeping slider.
Well, he had a great end of the last year, and he was... every game he was in, there was no more than 6 runs total scored. We must be doing something right. The Reds are 3.
If my memory serves, Cubs got him from the Yankees for Rizzo in the trade.
Well, there you go. So everybody won that trade, except Cub fans.
Just you wait.
Another 100 years, man.
We'll
show you guys. Hi. How are you? You good?
Excellent, buddy. What's up?
Nothing. Just thought this would be a great week to do our annual once-a-year golf talk that we always promised we'll do more on, but... I'm the moron that can't get this arranged. But since you're here now, you've been doing anything this week and weekend? You've been busy at all a little bit?
A bit. You know, in full disclosure, I'm going to miss rounds 2 and 3 of the Masters.
Why?
You would know this. It's my mom's 75th birthday.
Oh, fantastic.
Spend some time with her in Chi-Town, of all places.
Excellent. Well, you can watch on the plane. You can watch it on your tablet. You can do all that fun stuff.
That's exactly what she wants.
No, not in transit, not when you get there.
Yeah, you know I don't do that. The brick slider doesn't have a screen on it. It's just like an abacus.
Well, that's about the only place that you're technologically challenged anyhow. Well, wish your mother a happy birthday. That's fantastic. 75 is great. You will be in the Windies. Are you going to get to a Cub game? Take mom to a Cub game for the big birthday?
We actually are. My sister and I, our families, we're going to be in a suite at Wrigley. So
this time of year, that's safe. the only place guaranteed.
nice and warm if we need to be in there. It's going to be a really fun experience and a great family memory for sure.
Take a few pictures, will you, buddy? Not all of us get to get in the suites at Wrigley and check all that out. I had some friends that were there on opening day for the Brewers and said it got to be nice after the afternoon finally heated up. Well, Mother Nature is on the menu this week at Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia, as we get ready for the 87th edition of the Masters. We know all of the wonderful accoutrements that Augusta National has, whether it's sub-air on the greens and fairways. They can control just about anything except what comes out of the sky. How big of a factor, before we get into the players, is Mother Nature going to play this week for the 87th edition of the Masters Tournament?
Yeah, it looks like it won't. It looks like it. What do the kids say? It'll be a non-zero influence, right? It's going to play a role. It could, from our standpoint as prognosticators, it could really disrupt the whole better laid plans, intentions of what we try to help with people who are playing fantasy and putting a couple shillings on the line, because you just don't know. Fortunately, the course is relatively sheltered, but there are some places, especially around Amen Corner, where there's just nowhere to hide, and you got to be really careful. And hopefully, I trust this. This is one of the most reported things in all of professional golf, but especially on the PGA Tour. I know I sound like a homer, but even when the weather is not great, the tournament organizers and the grounds crew do a phenomenal job of making it fair.
And that's all anybody wants, right? They just want it fair.
Right, man. I mean, typically for anybody who's not super familiar with the way it's set up, on an 18-hole course, you have six, what could be considered difficult hole locations, 6 relatively easy or gettable hole locations, and then 6 somewhere in the middle. I would imagine that depending on how the weather shakes out, especially once we get into Friday, that's the thing, because Thursday's going to be pretty nice and warm. And then the wind and the nasty weather might come through. And the I say there might be a delay. There's been delays there before, obviously. So it's not like you can hide. There's no dome over the place yet. I say that every year, I think.
Getting closer.
So where the whole – I think guys who are going to be getting out at the right time on Thursday or who are ready to get out at the right time on Friday, they need to get over on the place on Thursday with whole locations that will probably be pretty good, so that the guys that are in the worst event on Friday aren't at a disadvantage. That's the way I foresee it. So Thursday, you're going to have, I would imagine, some pretty good scoring, and then the guys will have to hang on Friday and go from there.
And then Saturday morning, it's 52 degrees for a high and 49 for a low, and then who's going to be able to feel their hands and everything else? But once you make the cut and get to that spot, top 50 in ties will advance to the weekend, and it just doesn't look like it gets much better as it goes on.
You know, but as they say, everyone's in it together. You know, you're all in the same boat. Be prepared.
But this isn't the Open Championship, right? Where if you're on the wrong side of the draw,
Saturday. So what's that say again?
This isn't like the Open Championship, though, where if you're on the wrong side of the draw, the scoring can differ by 10 shots. That's not what's going to be the case.
Yeah, unlikely. With only 88 in the field, you know, the Open has 156, and we've seen some guys are done, you know, before lunch, and they laugh at the guys in the afternoon, or vice versa. So no, that should not be the case. But inexperience in any condition on this course is going to come up and bite these guys. Then again, I mean, guys like Sungjae Im in 20 and Will Zalatoris a couple years ago in their debuts, runner-up finishes, that's just not what we expect, no matter the conditions. So I wonder if the narrative over time is changing a little bit with respect to the quality of the talent, the fearlessness in the younger players on this course that shouldn't be playing really well, really, you know, right out of the gate. But this week with the weather, I suspect that experience will matter, just like it always has, typically.
Rob Bolton's our guest at Rob Bolton Golf, PGAtour.com, fantasy golf bet writer, the expert, the one we all look up to, my buddy, my workmate. Well, we don't work together. We work, over the internet together. When we take a look at these new fancy faces and we take a look at experience at Augusta National and weather, number one, nobody likes playing in cold and rain. I don't care what it doesn't matter where they grew up. Rory McIlroy said it 1,000 times, no thanks, I don't want any part of it. So don't buy into any of that narrative. But the experience narrative, when you look at guys that win through here, what are the numbers? Average times played is around, what, 7? Average winning is around 33. But if you're really good like Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler last year, those things don't always matter. Talent does.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other course, and you know this just as well as everybody who follows the sport closely, and obviously we get our hands in it all the time. Course history here is supposed to matter more than anywhere else, and it has, except for guys like Spieth and Scheffler, but they still needed at least one spin. Scheffler needed two most recently before he got through, and both of them were top 20s, and that's what happens when you're really good, right? There's no surprise to that. Obviously, there's only one winner every year, so sometimes we have to just pump the brakes in terms of, well, what do those numbers really mean? But I think, again, with just the younger generation and the winners overall, average on PGA Tour is now into the 20s, and it wasn't long ago when we were thinking 32, 33, you know, guy in their prime, and now here's Jason Day, for example, 35, and his second wind of a career when he really should just be on the back end of a prime and never won the Masters, of course, and has come close a couple times, but he's the kind of player who fits that profile of guy who's been there a ton of times, you know, in that early to mid-30s, has the experience, the temperament, he's been through all of it, and he's been, obviously him specifically, he's been playing terrific this year, so he's a threat to contend and perhaps win this week. But, you know, when it comes down to it, I think, and we saw this in 2019 with Tiger Woods, if you're watching it live, and you saw just all the dominoes fall around him, and there's just one guy plodding through it to win for the fifth time at Augusta National, and he... Not that he controlled all of it, but you could see how much he could control of himself. And what he was waiting for others to do in the negative sense, and he ended up on top. And you know, typically that's what we see on this course. This isn't Jordan Spieth in 16 giving way to Danny Willett all of the time in Spieth's title defense. But, you know, you need to have that steady presence when everything else is, it's incredible theater, right? So typically guys who control their emotions the most end up on top, and typically that's what defines guys who have the experience and guys who are in their early 30s.
And the other part of this, I know we don't put all of our eggs in any one basket, but the official world golf ranking, if you're not in the top, whatever, what is it, 20? The last however many winners have been in the top 20 or 30. It's just guys don't oops and fall into a green jacket. It just doesn't happen that way.
Right. That is the surprise. I have a question for you, though. What are you most looking forward to observing or learning this week?
Learning? I think that's always interesting. I think handling, if Woods, and it always comes back to Woods, doesn't it, at some point? Tiger's group, it's Hovland and Schauffele, is that it? That's where the biggest crowd's going to be. That always seems to be a deterrent. And Schauffele is a guy I know that's high on your list and everybody's list this week. And then he gets drawn with Woods, and you're like, oh, man, that whole circus that's going to follow him around for two rounds, you're going to have some weird weather. That's always interesting. The other interesting point, you brought up Jason Day, that's it. And I'm always interested to see how Jordan Spieth runs around here. I know he doesn't love the wet conditions. He loves firm and fast. But everybody's here. Everybody's healthy. 49 of the top 50. This is going to write itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it always does. I think you know, when we're thinking about the world ranking, you know, again, there's only 88 in the field, so the winners most likely, just law of averages, is going to emerge from the best of the best, and they're all chasing a major, the green jacket, et cetera, history, and so you expect all of them to play well. It's very rare when a notable golfer misses the cut at Augusta National, and so from our standpoint, it's. I always feel like it's kind of a week, like we could take off.
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, all these guys, like, there's really no one to fade. You know, the only guy, I think from a competitive standpoint, Justin Thomas is the most compelling figure for me, just because he you know, got the PGA last year. And again, he emerged, what was he, 250, 300 to 1 early in his back nine that Sunday, and he went out and won the thing. A little bit like Tiger did at Augusta National in 19. And, you know, the stories you talk about write themselves, and that one wrote itself, and he happened to catch fire, you know, just be in the right place, much like a car race. You know, sometimes, you know, you don't lead until you actually need to at the very end, and you don't have to in a golf tournament, and we've seen that play out time and again. But, I mean, JT was about the one, he's 13th in my power rankings. That's a bit of an indictment for him in terms of the expectations, but he's the one I think it'd be most surprising of all the big names that would actually come out with a green jacket this week for me.
He just hasn't played to JT's standards. And
no,
finding it in a major week is always tough. And I know that's one when folks will ask me, you know, what about – I know he hasn't been playing well, but this isn't the week because of the 49 of the top 50 are there because of the course, the weather conditions, and there's not a lot of room for error. You can maybe find it in the summertime. You can maybe find it early at maybe at Sony or at American Express, but there's some places where you just don't find it, and the major championships obviously qualify there.
Most of all, though, from a positive standpoint, none of these guys are citing any injuries that worry me to any extent. You know, the guy who's not in the power rankings, who is coming back from any sort of malady, is Will Zalatoris, and I think maybe he's watching his putting stroke too much. He's a little sick to his stomach because he is coming back from an illness.
Imagine how the rest of us feel.
And with the back that he's been dealing with, says it's fine, but then didn't play WM, even though he was committed, and then now we have the weather arriving this week. He might be a bigger surprise to contend than maybe anyone else in the field, just given all of those factors. And this is just in a week when you expect it all to come together, when you do have some question marks. So other than him, though, I think the other compelling, you know, the factor is how the 18 guys who play on LIV golf right now will be, how ready they'll be for Augusta National, because even Cameron Smith said, you know, he's just not, he hasn't played a lot. Is Russ going to be a factor?
54 holes, anything. A cut, the pants.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't suspect
no rock and roll music
of, from an you know, any an emotional perspective. Well, these guys are professionals, but it does bring to mention, you know, how the form will stack up against guys who have not made any decisions like those guys have. So I'm not worried about anything inside the ropes or outside the ropes, rather, affecting what happens inside the ropes. But that's also another storyline that's going to be really interesting to watch.
Well, we'll expand on that, because I do have a question and an interesting angle I will present you after we take a quick timeout. We've got to make sure we stay on the airwaves. You know how these things go. Rob Bolton at Rob Bolton Golf on the Twitterverse. You can see his power rankings at PGAtour.com. His sleepers as well. I'll put up horses for courses and betting stats. You guys can get all of your Masters coverage and insider there and more with Rob when we come back. Bolton joins me. We are talking Masters golf, and the angle I'm going to present you that I thought about our LIV discussion there. Yes, the LIV boys and girls who have qualified are in the field. The Masters tournament said, if you're qualified, we're going to put you in. So that squashed that quickly. When the Players' Championship rolled around right before St. Patrick's Day, Rory McIlroy seemed to be front and center in all the discussions on how's this going to work, how's everything going, kind of the de facto spokesman for the Players at the Players. He goes to miss a cut on a course he absolutely loved. I don't feel like he's doing the double duty this week. Instead, he will have the career Grand Slam hanging over his head. Where does McIlroy sit in your power rankings this week, my friend?
First of all, it's 2:38. Local time, and when you came back from the commercial, you proved to me that it's happy hour somewhere. Happy hour is always, it's always somewhere, right? And it happens to be happy hour where you are. That's all that matters. So I'll raise my Mountain Dew Code Red to you right now.
Code Red. I'm on the iced tea today.
Yeah. So McIlroy is number two in the power rankings. You know, he was my pick to win at the Players. There's so many compelling storylines with that guy, but that week I leaned into the fact that he's been embracing that role as a you know, de facto spokesperson for all of this. And he's the victory in Canada last year when he defended his title at a critical moment in, I don't want to sound too dramatic, but I mean in the current era, there was a critical moment in golf, and he went out and sent the statement, and he's continued to play well. He's won again early this year. I figured, yeah, it's not even a matter of X's and O's with the guy anymore. It's just go out there and be the alpha male that he is inside the ropes, and he didn't, and missed the cut. So this week with the career Grand Slam, you know, sometimes with him, I almost feel like a little bit like with Tiger. Sometimes you're so good at something, you forget what it's like to challenge yourself because you're just so much better than the competition. And we've seen Rory get bored or just lose interest in some level. Well, this, what's happened with LIV Golf and what the role he's taken, sort of taking over a little bit in terms of the guy in the middle of the platform for the PGA Tour after Tiger, his you know, his peak is over, and McIlroy's in the middle of his, and at the right time of his life, personally and physically, all of it's going really well, that suddenly there's a focus and there's a purpose to everything he's doing that he didn't have within the last couple of years when he's sort of up and down and winning here, winning there, but not really, you know, just trying different things. But why? You're already so good. Just keep doing what you're doing. Looking for some sort of other inspiration. You know, and these guys, while they're professional athletes, there's an element to artistry to what they do. And if you're bored being creative, despite being a physical pursuit, I can kind of understand why you're not playing that well. And the excuses about not playing well at the Players, and that, you know, he's got caught up a little bit in the role that he's had, and you know, it sounded like he didn't prepare for the rough. I don't know. It was just an odd week for the rhetoric, and maybe he had some fatigue involved mentally with respect to all of it. Well, now the dynamic is winning the career Grand Slam. It's almost like it's not even the – because of everything going on, it's not really the – it's sort of like the story 1A, whereas now his role and everything he's tackled in the last year is priority one. So it's almost an afterthought in a sense. Obviously, it's a mainstream narrative, and it's a big deal historically. I get all that, but just in the context of what's happening right now, this is his ninth attempt to win the career Grand Slam, and it might be the easiest because it's not really the primary storyline entering the tournament. There's so many other things going on, and he's been playing so well. So in my opinion, based on reading some of the tea leaves and some of the art of what we do for a living, the stars are aligned maybe more than they have been since he's been chasing this thing.
And McIlroy, obviously, with the equipment change, shaving some length off of his shaft and his driver, we know at Augusta National, that is not the club that needs to work, and we know how great he is with the irons. It's just, will the putter show up for four rounds? It seems you have to have all these pieces come together for 1 week, but yeah, nine times to attempt to complete the career Grand Slam. That's I don't think any of us thought 9 years from now we'd be wondering when that would happen. But there have been some greats that have not won at Augusta National. It's just how it works sometimes.
I want to jump in on the equipment thing just for a moment.
Yeah, good.
We don't talk about that very often, but a lot of times when I look at these things logically, if he wasn't an experienced player and high-level performer at Augusta National, despite not winning, he wouldn't be making the change, or he wouldn't be curious to do it. He would just go out and do his best, which is what he's done before. But now he has the confidence and the experience. I'm like, this is what I need to do now. This is how I'm going to help solve this puzzle. And he can do it on a course where he doesn't need driver, even though he can use it. I mean, and it is really handy because the course caters to it. You don't need to, because we've seen plenty of guys not need to. I mean, we can go back to Zach Johnson in terrible weather several years ago, laying up on every par five and prevailing, right? I don't know if the scores will be that high this week, but they could be, and that's the kind of approach that could work. And suddenly, if you're thinking about it from that perspective, it's a shrewd move to make a decision like that and just allow the approach clubs to do their work. So I would imagine it's on some level with at least one of these guys, that type of narrative is going to emerge into the weekend.
And the other part with McIlroy and the driver as well, you had 35 yards to Azalea, number 13. You added 20 yards to 15, Firethorn, the year before that. All of a sudden, par 5 scoring means something again, and if that driver does cooperate, those are the scoring holes on the backside.
Yeah, no question. And again, we go back to the hole locations, you know, depending how the weather is going to influence some of that. We may not have, I mean, we expect to have all of the traditional hole locations come Sunday, but in the meantime, they may need to make some tweaks to where they are. And suddenly, you know, tees are going to be up, or hole locations are going to be a little bit different. And again, that experience comes in handy because he's seen them all.
Rob Bolton's our guest at Rob Bolton Golf on the Twitter, PGAtour.com, the leader of golf bet and fantasy golf writing. Jack Nicklaus, Nick Faldo, Tiger Woods, and Scottie Scheffler. Well, if the Texan continues his reign of terror, he will join a very, very elite club. He's number one in your power rankings, and I don't think you're going to find too many people that argue.
I think the most common question I've received from people who I know well recently, will Scottie Scheffler be in the will be number one in the power rankings for fill in the blank of the name of the tournament. I think he has been ever since WM. I don't know. I mean, I don't keep track of that. It's easy to find it, but my response is, yeah, if I want to keep my job, of course he'll be, and he's continued to prove it. It's just a matter of, when we're talking about, he's the automatic top 10 machine. So if you're in any sort of market, you just start with the top 10, take a look at that value, and in places where that's legal, have at it. Otherwise, you're going to need some balls to bounce in the right directions, and obviously that's how you end up winning tournaments. But to win the Players by three that week was really, really impressive. I mean, the guy just goes out and hits the next shot. He does exactly what the textbook tells you to do.
He four-putted here last year and won by three.
Yeah.
Four-putted 18.
What do you say about the guy? He's a video game.
He is. And you know what?
As long as he's healthy, he's the guy to beat.
I'm going to editorialize here a little bit right now. I don't particularly care for him because it's like it's Mr. Roboto, and that just I enjoy the artsy part of it more than I enjoy the technical supremacy. I think the only outlandish thing you ever see Scheffler do is when he swings, his feet go in funny directions, and that's it. Perfect. You know, everything else is perfect, and there he is. But
you know what, though? I'll push back because guys like Siwoo Kim and Charles Howell III, currently with LIV Golf, I mean, those guys, they hit the full club. There isn't a lot of – you could also say that those guys are Mr. Roboto, right?
Yeah.
And Kim has won his fair share. He's still very young and in the field. One of my sleepers this week, in fact. But
that's
again,
a segue, kids. Like, if you're doing radio for a living, that's a segue. That's how you do it right there. Bolton just showed you. Keep it up. Keep it up.
But where Scheffler, you know, he does it with that mentality. But I think there's just so much more about – his balance outside the ropes that matters, and I think that's where the art form comes in, right? It's just being able to control his emotion. It's not the end of the world, no matter how he plays, and he happens to be really, 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 really good at something that pays really, 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 really well, really well, and he's out to do it on, you know, national television and big events. I don't know. It's hard not to respect the fact that he's been able to figure it out this quickly.
I respect the hell out of him. We knew it was coming. We knew he was a great junior. We knew he was great at Texas. We knew. And to pay it off, I know sometimes it's a little bit boring, but again, that has nothing to do with his talent. It's more the other stuff that goes along with it. Before we get to some of your other sleepers, I know people are very interested on your opinion on Jordan Spieth. I did hear him speak today. He said he would prefer firm and fast. He's just like everybody else that's played here for the last decade, has seen this course in multiple iterations. That should help him. But if there's anywhere he gets out of bed with a smile on his face in the morning, I'm guessing it's before he heads up Magnolia Lane.
Yeah. In fact, I think when I even had a smile, I'm like, what do you say about the guy that you haven't said before? Because this place is so built for him. You know, you don't have to hit it straight. It caters to his creativity, his touch around the green, his ability to putt. And now he has all that experience, obviously, with the victory. What happened in 16 was, it's going to happen here. And you have to keep the focus the whole time, and that's how you end up winning the thing. So he's played well enough of late. I don't care what he really said. He's healthy. He knows what to do. Because once he gets in the heat of the battle, like all of these other guys, how he wants the place to play won't even matter anymore. He's going to answer some questions. I don't know. I tend to be... Not to go off on a tangent, but I listen to these pressers with like one ear. Like, when are you going to tell me something that actually matters? Because the rest of it's just sort of just textbook. It's not as textbook as Tiger Woods in his prime when he never said anything, but everybody was watching. There are some compelling things that are said, like what Cameron Smith said this week about maybe feeling a little bit of rust because he hasn't been playing a lot. Suddenly that has value, you know, to what the proceedings might give us. But you know, it is what it is, and so everybody's going to play in similar course. But you know that you mentioned it earlier, the sub air, they'll be able to dial the greens to 13 or whatever they want because they control that. So Spieth will still get some of that. I think, you know, he says it, but it really won't matter.
The book loves Patrick Cantlay. The golf world, especially the horses for courses world, is a little bit shocked, and I took it one step further and looked at his major championship. Patrick Cantlay has 3 top tens and 23 majors. How can that be?
He was the last guy in my power rankings, and Tommy Fleetwood was the last guy out. I ended up swapping Fleetwood out for Cantlay just because I couldn't ignore Cantlay, despite what you just said. I'm aware of it. I'm like, you know what? He deserves it. You know, it was a tough call, but
he's hot. I'll give him credit.
Cantlay,
he's hot.
Period. You have to, you know, drop the hammer somewhere.
Right.
And Fleetwood got the hammer. not fading Fleetwood, but, you know, not for the power rankings. And there's Cantlay at number 18. You know, there are some guys who have, you know, Max Homa is still looking for some high finishes in the majors. Bill Haas, I don't know if he's – I think he had one top 10 in a major, I think. In like 50 of them or something.
Yeah, FedEx Cup champion.
Siwoo Kim never had a top 10 in a major. Won the Players.
Mm-hmm.
He has like 6 top 20s, no top 10s. And that's a really interesting fact. However, there's always going to be that guy at the end of the spectrum who we are surprised at. And at some point, we're like, well, of course, you talk about seeing Scottie Scheffler coming. We got to see Patrick Cantlay coming. We got to respect that as well. So if you're looking at the DFS situation, I mean, now we're talking, right? Because you're going to want the guys that are going to be playing well, and you're going to have to fend off some of those sharks. Cantlay presents really strongly because you're going to be playing against the people who are reading horses for courses who don't see Cantlay and won't even think about him because he's not included. I'm not going to play that guy. I have 30 other options that make more sense than him. So that's why you play him, because he's Patrick Cantlay, and this is the Masters. It doesn't matter what his record is, because he's Patrick Cantlay. Yeah, another compelling storyline this week for sure.
And a compelling argument either way. And again, when you have 49 in the top 50, when you have a major championship on the line, we are splitting hairs. That's what you have to do if you're going to win your pool, if you're going to win your DFS, if you're going to win your league or whatever it is this week. And Rob Bolton is here to help us from PGAtour.com. The best of the best. Cameron Young is 30-1, plus 300 or plus 3, well, however you say it, plus 3. I hate the plus system. He's 30-1. He 77-77 on his first visit last year, but since then he's been second 418 times and third 138 times. He's done everything but win. That one time around, just two rounds, is that enough to keep him on the radar? Because similarly to Cantlay, he's playing awfully, awfully well.
Yeah, in a word, yes. 100%. I mean, yes, he's
course history is not the end-all be-all is what I'm trying to get the point across.
The problem I have with Young is he hasn't won yet at all. So he's still, yes, he has those 418 runner-up finishes in the last 418 starts.
Feels like.
But until you break through, you don't know what it feels like, and he's come too close to – he's not in my power rankings. But this is the Masters where a guy like even Patrick Cantlay, it's surprising because he doesn't have a good course history. Sam Burns, second start, number 19. Just won the match play, but this is the Masters. It's that kind of week where you respect a lot of that. If Young top 20, top 25, okay. But I just respect this course. I respect what this tournament yields too much to lean too far into it. If I look at him at maybe the PGA, okay. But I want to see him win another event first. You know, we haven't seen a guy win his first overall event on the PGA Tour for a while. Was it Charles Schwartzel, maybe? I don't even remember.
Yeah, Schwartzel.
You can probably
Schwartzel never won before. Willett had not won on tour either.
But again, I mean, he was winning abroad.
Sure.
So it wasn't, Cameron Young's an American, so it's just different. But again, I think from the perspective of a DFS or whatever your context is, which you want to get into the weeds and what we do, then sure, now we can have that conversation. But overall, I'd be surprised if he contends.
You'd be surprised if Tiger Woods contends as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah. What's the make the cut? Is it like, or Mystica? Is it like minus 200 or something?
Yeah, something around there.
You know, whatever.
He never does though. That's the crazy part. Yeah.
Just bet the other side of it and have a little more fun. You know, but
right.
You don't throw a hold unit into it.
The forecast does not help him at all.
No, and just the hills and the leg and make the cut. I'll give him make the cut.
He
not much more to say.
He did say today though it could be his last one. I mean that was. I didn't expect to hear that from a guy I didn't expect to see at Riviera. So at Riviera, yeah, he said I'm going to play the majors and maybe a couple more. Now it's I don't know if I'll play the Masters again. That red flag scares me. I haven't gotten into it as far as – I mean, this came across my phone as an alert. I haven't got into the full context of it. John Rahm's fourth in your power rankings. We'll wrap up there. Again, a guy who hasn't played great recently, but 3 weeks before he stopped playing great, he was unbeatable. Another great layer of this, looking to join Garcia and Jose Maria Olazabal as Spaniards to lift that there is a trophy there and put on the green jacket.
Yeah, so Rahm not great in his last three, had the illness, cited getting frustrated at Bay Hill, and he's still working through some of those emotions inside the ropes and preventing that from getting in the way of just executing as he knows how to do best. And then it's the match play, so anything, you just throw that one out no matter how you perform there. I mean, we like positive results in majors and the match play, but when it's not positive, I tend to ignore it. There's just too many variables. the vagaries, right, that go into it that are just, it's just more random than it needs to be respected, in my opinion, and that's typically the way that goes. So Ron, number four, very respectful, very high position in the power rankings. I have him in my lineup for PGA Tour Fantasy Golf. Starts on the bench because I'm looking at other starts later in the segment, especially coming up with his title defense in Mexico soon, where he's going to have to be in everyone's lineup. So rationing there a little bit potentially, but overall, just in the terms of the context of this week, yeah, and look, I mean, he has his own storyline of wanting to join the Spaniards who have won at Augusta National and how much he appreciates the history of the game and especially in this tournament. So, yeah, I've talked a lot about like how everybody's motivation basically cancels out because everybody's chasing something. At least they should be. That's why they're in the tournament. But with respect to how it matters to him from a allegiance to his native land of Spain, that to me is worth a little bit more than just a guy who's, you know, like Cameron Young, who's trying to win for the first time. I think there's a lot more credence because Rahm's been here before and Young has been here only once and still figuring the place out. So sometimes when we are splitting those hairs, those things matter.
And yeah, being a former major champion doesn't hurt anything either, knowing you can close
that
you can close that deal. So your power rankings are Scheffler, McIlroy, Day, Rahm, Spieth, Schauffele, Finau, Morikawa, Dustin Johnson, and Sung Jae Im. There's your top 10. I will let you go to PGAtour.com and search Power Rankings, Golf Bet, or in the news feed, and you can read all about Rob's sleepers and all the other great things we are writing all week long. We've been busy. We will be busy. There's I got one more left I got to get to after I'm done with you tonight, so we'll get our friends over in across the pond something to chew on. But I really thank you for your time. Have a safe trip to Chicago, my friend. Tell your mom happy birthday, and I'm going to put you down for the PGA Championship next month. We'll make it work somehow.
That sounds great, pal. Great hearing your voice. You're the best. Take care.
Thank you, buddy. Rob Bolton, at Rob Bolton Golf, PGAtour.com. He's the best, folks, and a great friend on top of all of that. Yeah, I'm a pretty lucky guy. I agree. I agree 100%. The expert picks that Rob was referring to, you can also find that at Golf Bet, PGAtour.com/golfbet. And you can see everybody who we are lining up this week to go into battle. Well, it's not battle, but Rob leading the bunch there. I'm in second place behind him. He has in his lineup Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, and Jordan Spieth. That's exactly who I have. He has Dustin Johnson and John Rahm on his bench. I have Xander Schauffele and John Rahm on my bench. So pretty similar thoughts in all of that. I do have one-and-done games are interesting. Scheffler, if you haven't played him, you just figure the history there is a little heavy for me. Is it going to be? Well, we've just given you 10 reasons on 10 different guys why it can and why it can't be. I'm going to play Spieth, I believe. I can bring out McIlroy a little bit later. If this year is the year he hits the goal, I will play Spieth to guarantee Rory McIlroy hitting the career Grand Slam this week. So that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to ride Jordan Spieth to the victory line.